Today's presenter is Mark Warden. Mark entered the West Fair for ZOS Level 2 in March of 2002. Currently, he divides his time between working on international customers' problems and mentoring his teammates. Mark's previous work experience includes porting the DPPX operating system to the 370 hardware. Initial porting worked for the DBX debugger to MVS, implementing several line items in the language environment runtime. Mark is delighted to be a continuing part of ZOS emergence as an open platform. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Mark.
Thanks, Elijah. This is Mark. Can everybody hear me okay? I guess you're on mute, so we won't know the answer to that. Today, we're going to talk about the process that we follow in Level 2 for diagnosing out-of-storage conditions that get reported to customers in our WebSphere address spaces. We're not going to talk about Java out-of-memory problems. Java memory leaks are a topic well unto themselves, and there isn't time to discuss it in this presentation. We're going to talk about what kinds of native storage there are, how much there is available for one of our WebSphere app servers to be running in. We're going to talk about how customers might observe a leak, how it gets detected, and what happens as a result of the leak. And then we're going to go into some procedures that we follow for figuring out what's causing the storage to be consumed. We'll go to slide 3 now, please. So what kind of storage is there really? There's MVS virtual storage, which every address space has access to, and MVS divides it up into regions. It's managed according to subpool numbers, and every address space has 2 gigabytes in the 31-bit address space, and we're going to be speaking about 31-bit address spaces in this presentation. Above the MVS virtual storage, there's the language environment understanding of storage, which is supplied by the interfaces given to the C and C++ programs that comprise the WebSphere runtime, or really any application that's running on ZOS that's written in C or C++. Excuse me. Everything that LE has as far as storage is concerned comes from MVS virtual storage subpools 1 and 2. The Java heap, as I mentioned before, we're not really going to talk about Java heap, but Java heap is taken from MVS subpool 2 along with the rest of the LE heap. Next slide, please. So how much storage is there really? For a 31-bit address space, there's 2 gigabytes. Quite a bit of it is used by MVS for specific purposes, so it's not available for an actual user mode program, such as a WebSphere servant address space and the JVM that's contained inside of it. There are customer specifiable ways to carve that storage up. It's done by FarmLive members and IFUSI exits that can limit the amount of storage that a program can have. As far as LE is concerned, we get 2 gigabytes minus all the stuff the OS reserves. All the C++ and C data storage comes from the heap and the stacks. And again, as I said, it's all subpool 2. If we go to the next slide, please. There are a few. There's a tool within the IPCS dump viewing product that comes with MVS that has a report that you can get out of a dump called the VSM data. The VSM data report has a nice little storage map that shows how much storage is available and is being used by a program running in that address space. And this slide 5 is an example of a piece of that map. I show this just so that you might be familiar with how storage is divided up. These numbers will be different on different systems and for different programs that are running. But if we need, one of the things we need to know is how much storage do we have available, and this little piece of the VSM data report can give us that information. If we go to the next slide, please. This is a continuation of the little map that was on slide 5, and I've highlighted a couple a couple values near the bottom. The ELIM equals, and this in this chart it's 6880000. This is the maximum size that the user's program, such as a WebSphere servant address space, can expect to get in total, and that's about 1,700 megabytes. And you can figure out also from this about how much storage is being used currently by programs running in the address space, and that would be the fields ERGTP, the current top of the user extended user region, minus the ESTRA field, which is the other highlighted field, which is the start of our extended private region. Now on this page, in this dump, we had used about 1,300 megabytes at the time of the dump was taken. So how do leaks get reported? Go to slide 7 now, please. Probably one of the most common failure indications is an S78 ad band and the server crashes. It's very disruptive. There are other indications that we've run out of storage that an application can hit. One is an error no being returned, being set on a malloc that has failed or an operator new. WebSphere sometimes throws these CORBA no memory exceptions when we're getting memory in our orb. You can see in the WebSphere sysprint a Java laying out a memory exception thrown, which is, in this case, Java Heap ran out of storage, and we're not talking about Java Heap, but this is just an example of how they get reported. And sometimes, every once in a while, you'll get a program check, maybe converted into an abind, and you don't really know why it happened until you start looking at the code and find out, well, we tried to get some storage, the storage obtained failed, we didn't check the return code, and we tried to use the pointer that we were returned and caused a program check. Customers can also use SDSF myself to look at the virtual storage footprint for a particular address space. And over time, over hours or days, you'll see the number just steadily increasing. There's also monitoring tools for this that are available in the industry that would help detect a leak. Problem is, this leak can go on undetected if nobody's watching it. Might run for a day or 10 days or a month, and then you'll get a system 878 abind. One of the other ways that I've seen leaks detected is that a customer might notice their paging rates are going up steadily over time. And that's their first indication that there was a problem, and it turns out that the paging rate was increasing because all the WebSphere address spaces were consuming more and more virtual storage, and so more and more of it was out on paging packs, and they had tuned their system for one amount of virtual storage consumed, and we were using far more. So this raised the alert in some conditions. Okay, let's go to slide 8 now, please. What happens? Of course, we know what happens when you have a leak. You get degraded performance. You can have a WebSphere server crash because it ran out of storage. I've seen instances where WebSphere was consuming all of common storage, and this would affect not only WebSphere but other subsystems running on the system. It could potentially cause a need to IPL and LPAR. So leaks are bad. They're pretty devastating. And how do you avoid them? Well, that's some customers recycle their servers every day. Some have perhaps automation that checks one thing or another. It gets complicated, and it's a nuisance. And it would be nice to not have to do that. So our whole objective is to find them and fix them. We could go to the next slide, please. So how do we figure out what's going on? Our chief diagnostic tool is a dump, a console dump, or if it's an out-of-memory that causes an 878 abind, we might get an SVC dump as a result of the abind. Once we have the dump, we look into it to try to figure out what's leaking, where, in what part of the address space is storage being consumed uncontrollably. Once we figure out where the storage leak is occurring, then our goal is to look at the storage and try to figure out what that storage, which is leaking uncontrollably, is being used for. And then after we know what's leaking, we have to study it and figure out, is it really a leak? If so, what's causing it? There's a couple different practical approaches. You can study one out-of-memory storage dump, which is typically the way the problem first comes into level two anyways. We got an out-of-storage dump. Level two looks at it and think we identify some leaks, and we can go off and work on that. A more thorough method would be to take, once the customer notices that storage is growing over time, we can typically ask for two or more dumps separated in time, maybe every 4 hours, maybe whenever the storage increases 20%, so that we can compare what's growing. Method two is a lot more time consuming. It's a lot more accurate. It isn't always necessary. Method one, getting one out of storage dump, if you find that there's 10 million of one particular piece of storage that has a host name in it, it's quite likely that's going to be a leak. But both variations are useful. So if we go to the next slide, please. So what is it that's growing? How do we figure this out? We get, as I mentioned, the dump or dumps, and we review the dumps using IPCS as far as native storage is concerned. This is the easiest tool I've found to use for this. And the Vervex DSM data report with the sum and no global options is really key. We look at the subpool summary at the bottom of the report. We look at we eyeball basically the subpools to see which ones are unusually huge. As an example, that if the customer has reported a common storage, a CSA shortage, then there's another VSM data report that we can use to try to peek more carefully into the CSA storage. If we go to the next slide, please, we'll see a copy of the VSM data local subpool usage. And on this, I've annotated this report. It's abbreviated. You see the little ellipses there. This is much longer. But subpool numbers 1 and 2, which is the second column in this report, 1 and 2 I've annotated to be, this is where LE heap storage is coming from. They're down below on subpool 230 key 0 with the size of above the line size of 40 Fox 8000. This is where the shared library modules get loaded by the kernel. So that's a fairly large chunk of storage. But what does this report tell us? This report tells us by subpool how much above the line and below the above the 31 bit, well, above the 24 bit line and below the 24 bit line is in use. This is not a 64-bit VSM data, and we're not going to be talking about 64-bit. But you can see that subpool 2, key 2, has a very large amount. What that tells us is the LE heap is really quite huge. Now, if we go to the next slide, please. This is an example of a VSM data report where we're asking for a summary of CSA usage. And again, this report would be quite lengthy, but I've highlighted a field under the total length column, which says the total for all ASIDs is 00.5.charlie58. And then down on the bottom of the screen, I've gotten there's a line for the job named BBPDMN, and he's using an address ID 017 Baker. He's using 00 Baker 6 Charlie 438. That's a huge portion of the total CSA in use, and this address space 017 Baker happens to be our, that's one of our daemons. In this dump, the daemon was leaking CSA. Actually, it was consuming a lot of CSA, let's say it that way. Then if we go to slide 13, please, we'll show the output of another VSM data report, which gives detail on what's in the first 32 bytes of each piece of CSA allocated by our daemon. And if you look to the right, there's a translated portion of the dump. There's an entry called PBDE. You see another PBDE and some eye catchers that are PB, the letters PB blank blank. And what we found here is that CSA is being filled up by our daemon with control blocks, with eye catchers, PBDE, and PB. And these control blocks happen to be created by WLM. And so our goal then was to explain why we had so many of them in CSA. And let me just briefly explain that if you're in IPCS looking at the VSM data own COM CSA report, you're going to see this on your screen, and you scroll down. You might scroll down for 1,000 screens looking at more and more of the same thing. This is how we came to determine that these control blocks were consuming an unexpected amount of storage and was driving a available CSA down to zero and was going to cause us to need to re-IPL. This was a leak. This was actually happening. We could go to slide 14, please. So we just had an example of looking at CSA storage. Now we need to consider, well, what happens if we're leaking? What happens if a subpool that's reported by the VSM data is huge, unexpectedly huge, but it's not subpool 2? It's not the LE heap, basically. How do we approach that? We go back to the VSM data report. There's task-related subpool info at the beginning of it, which lists by TCB the subpool usage, and it lists out each subpool, each storage request that has been satisfied. If we get storage and we haven't freed it, there will be an entry in the VSM data for that subpool to show us the address of the storage that was given to the application. And we use that information to go in and browse the dump at those addresses to look for things that we recognize. Are there eye catchers in the beginning of these dumps that give us a clue as to who they belong to? Are there any readable strings embedded within the dump in these control blocks that can help us figure out what they might be used for? MVS supplies a set of interfaces for storage, fast, efficient storage management called cpools, and you can sometimes tell by looking at a hunk of a subpool that it is part of a cpool. So that's another clue. So walking through that process a little bit, if we go to slide 15, here's a VSM data report for subpool 249. And again, there's ellipses on this report. I had to cut it down quite a bit to fit, but there's hundreds and hundreds of DQEs between the address 19000 and the address 89Fox000. Each of these DQE lines you see on the screen are telling me that a 3,000 hex byte piece of storage at address, for example, 19000 was given to the application running in WebSphere's address space. Most of them were sized 3,000. And not only but the below-the-line storage, but all of above the line storage of the virtual 31, real 31, these DQEs went on for page after page after page after page. And it's unusual to see so many in a VSM data report. I think I counted not quite 130,000 of these 3,000 hex byte chunks in the report. So it's clearly unexpected. Could easily be a leak. Now let's go to slide 16 and we'll see a screen. We'll see some screenshots from the IPCS tool in storage browse mode. This and the several subsequent screens, I'm showing you the data that is contained in the beginning of those blocks that we saw in the VSM data for subpool 249. Address 19000 was the first one. There's some WebSphere control. There's a BBOD ENF. That's a WebSphere control block. Then this build level string, that's something that we print out whenever our server comes up. So we know that that belongs to us. Our point now is to go into these control blocks, the storage areas that we identified in the VSM data report, and browse them looking for clues. So the next few charts are going to be showing you me browsing through storage. I was at 19000. Then if we go to slide 17, we'll see I scrolled down. And this is all looks like scribble. We don't really know. This is translated in EBCDIC on the right, and I don't recognize it. But I'm just looking for patterns yet. I haven't really figured out anything yet. But I know I want to look at the last below the line. Let's see. Let's go to the next slide, please. Yeah. So here I've scrolled through storage down to the last below the line chunk of subpool 249 that was reported by my VSM data report. And it kind of looks the same. There's a BBOD ENF eye catcher. There's a build string that we build in our servers, and then more scribble. Okay, now if we scroll down, if we go to the next slide, please. I used IPCS to go to one of the above the line storage locations, 1FoxCharlieDog2000, to look what was there. And here's a little bit different. There's a BBODASRR. That's also a WebSphere eye catcher. Then a little bit further down, we see the BBODENF. We've seen that before. And I couldn't fit all the data on one screen, so it was too many panels. So I chopped it off, and then I said, okay, let's go to the very last subpool 249 block and look at that. And there's the BBODENF again. Here's the beginning of the build string again. I'm starting to wonder, maybe I'm leaking these things. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. One of the things about WebSphere is that a lot of it runs in ASCII, so you can't always trust the EBCDIC eye catchers on the right of the screen. There's a command called ASCII that will cause the eye readable portion of the screen on the right to display ASCII characters. And we've gone back to the subpool 249 at that first below the line block 19000 in ASCII. And lo and behold, that scribble that we saw before is actually data. That's interesting. And if we scroll down, go down to the next slide, please. In IPCS, I scrolled down and I saw more of this same kind of pattern repeated over and over again in ASCII. And it went on for page after page after page after page. So that's interesting. Why is there so much? If we go to the next slide, please. Okay, I'm trying to confirm suspicion. I went to the same block as I was at before, this 89FOX000, which is the last subpool 249 block below the line. And there's more of that ASCII scribble at the bottom of the page. And again, if I scrolled forward within IPCS, I would see more and more and more and more of that. That's really troubling. Why is there so much of it? If we go to the next slide, please, I'll take you through looking at the above-the-line storage a little bit. Okay, in the above-the-line storage block that I had looked at before, the One Fox Charlie Dog 2000, there's no ASCII scribble in here. And we can maybe explain that. Let's go to the next slide, please. Oh, there's the scribble. And again, in this, when I was reviewing the dump, if I scrolled down from here, I would see page after page after page after page of this ASCII DRS agent ID, BBPSR21, home of homes stuff. It's just filling storage. Supple 249 is just filled with this stuff. So, that's interesting information, and that's probably enough for me to go to my developers and say, look what I'm seeing in the dump customer run out of storage in Supple 249, and it's filled with all of this ASCII stuff that says home of homes, and there's DRS in the string, and DRS is one of the components of WebSphere. And when we review it like that, the developers can say, well, there's, look at all these things. They should be freed by such and such process, and it isn't happening. It must be, oh, there's a leak. And then they can fix it, and life is good. This is an example of going through Subpool 249. The next example, it's more common for the leak to be in the LE heap. So if we go to slide 25, we will revisit the VSM data, but this time focusing on the LE heap. Okay, what I'm trying to indicate here is that in our address space, subpool 1 contains the primary extent of LE heap. Traditionally, we allocate an 80 megabyte LE heap for the primary extent size. And here it is. Here's an address 1781Able1000 for that size. Then after the rest of LE storage comes from subpool 2, and I've kind of annotated on the right, oh, these blocks that are 81,000 hex in size, each one of those is a stack segment for an LE-enabled TCB. So stack storage, which means program auto data, variables declared at, you know, within a method that go out of scope when the method exits, that all comes from stack. You don't normally see a stack leak. You can see out of storage caused by an unusually large number of these stack segments, and that could be caused because an application created an unusually large number of threads. But typically, we don't see a leak inside of a stack segment. Now, this big monster that's 2000 in size, that's the 512 meg Java heap that applications tend to have in the servant region. That's what it looks like from the MVS perspective. We know that it's at address 1.27000, so if we wanted to peek into it and see what was there, we would just use IPCS and browse to that address. We're not interested in that. But we will be doing that for the LE primary heap and the LE secondary heaps here at address 4108-1000. That is a 4 megabyte piece of LE heap. 80 megabytes wasn't big enough. The application asked for more storage, so LE started getting secondary extents. I've highlighted one that's got a size of 801,000. This is a huge piece of storage that's bigger than an LE secondary extent, and so an LE gets a storage request that's bigger than will fit in the secondary extent. He just gets a new heap extent that's exactly the right size. Then I have indicated more LE secondary extents there on those last two lines. And in the actual VSM data report, there was page after page of these 81,000s and the 4 megabyte LE secondary extents, heap secondary extents. But what we do is, one of the things we can do is use the VSM data details for LEHeap to know what storage to browse to see what's leaking. So if we think that LE's heap, or put it another way, if we think subpool 2 is quite unusually huge, then we need to analyze the LE heap, and there's a couple methods for that. Where does LE get its storage from? Well, we have this, WebSphere runs with heap pools enabled, so that says that for storage requests that are less than or equal to a heap pool size, LE will give us the storage from its heap pool. Otherwise, if the storage request is bigger, but it will fit into an existing heap segment, LE will give us the storage from the existing heap segment. Otherwise, if the storage request is less than the size of a secondary extent, in other words, in our case, if it's less than 4 megabytes, LE will make a new secondary extent, give us our storage request from there, and now what's left over in that new secondary extent is free space for other storage requests. Otherwise, if the storage request is bigger than 4 megabytes, in our case, LE just gets a piece of storage from MVS, calls it an extent of the LE heap, and it's the exact right size for us. We need to go to slide 26, please. This tries to capsule the algorithm that I just mentioned. And then we talk about fragmentation. It can happen in a native storage that there's 100 megabytes free, but every piece of free storage is 80 bytes long. So when somebody asks for a 100 byte piece of storage, it can't be satisfied with the existing heap extents that we have because there's no one piece big enough to satisfy 100 bytes. When we use LE heap pools, that LE heap pools to a large extent eliminates the fragmentation that can happen for our control blocks that are up to about 1,880 bytes in size. That's our biggest heap pool in the controller, I believe. For the servant, the number is 2,002K. But so we don't have fragmentations as a result of small storage requests, but for large storage requests, 2 meg, 4 meg, 3 meg, 1.5 meg, those don't come from heap pools, and they can end up causing the LE heap to be so fragmented that memory is filled with heap secondary extents, but we can't get any storage from LE because it's so fragmented. That's an out of memory. That can happen. I don't see that too often. Let's go to the next slide, please. This is a magic chart. This tells us in the first portion of the report is the WebSphere servant heap pool size, and the second portion is the WebSphere controller heap pool sizes. And they're numbered heap pools 1 through 6, which are the 6 heap pools that we typically use. Heap pool 1's any element storage request less than or equal to 24 bytes is going to come from heap pool 1 in the servant. Any storage requests bigger than 24 but less than or equal to 88 is going to come from heap pool 2, and so on and so forth. Any storage request in a servant that's 1,880 bytes or less will come from heap pool 6. Anything bigger than 1,880 is just going to become a normal LE heap request, and those requests could lead to fragmentation. It's possible. The controller, the heap pool sizes are a little bit different, but what we need this table for, we need this table to know what the pool sizes are so that we can go and find them and then look at them. That's why we get this table. This table is accurate at the time of this writing. You can get this information by starting up a WebSphere address space with an LE runtime option called report storage. It's report storage open paren on, close paren, and then start up the server and then stop it. the sysprint, or it might be sysout, I think it's sysout, will contain, among other things, it will contain the size of the heat pool, of the heat pool extents. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. So we looked in the VSM data. We think we see that LE heap is really large. We need to understand what's going on. We think we might have a leak in the heat pools. What do heat pools look like in storage? As a process that we kind of follow, we use IPCS to get a Verbex LE data report with ASID equal to the failing address space and the all operand as well. This generates a lot of output. We can use it to locate in the dump each extent of a heat pool. And then when we know where they are, we can look in the dump and see what they look like, see what kind of data they contain. Anytime you see a heat pool that's got more than one extent, that is kind of be on alert. Take a look in each one of those heat pool extents where there's multiple of them, because there may be a leak in there, or more than one. What does the heat pool element look like actually in storage? Each element in the dump is going to be the element size plus 8. The first word is going to be a pool number. So if we're looking at heat pool 1 elements, element plus 0 is going to be the number 1. Element plus 4 is going to also be the number 1 unless it's on a free chain. Then it'll be a pointer to the next element in the free chain, or 0 if it's at the end of the free chain. Then element plus 8 is the storage element itself. Now, if we go to the next slide, Slide 29 is a picture of a piece of the Verbex LE Data All report. It's in the heap report, and the heap prints out the first 32 bytes in hex and iReadable of each allocated section of LE heap. So at address 2884, ABLE 020, there you see an allocated storage element of that length, 999908. And here we have, this is the storage. It's got the 0004, 0004, and the first two words, and then data. Now, I was looking at heap pool extents that have size 999908. So I browsed the output of this Verbex LE Data All and did a find for all the lengths 999908, and it gave me the addresses of these five chunks of heap pool 4. I have their address. I can use IPCS to go and look at that storage. And if we go to the next slide, please. Here's one of those heaps. And the very beginning of it, you see the length 999908. That's a confirmation that you're in the right spot. And then it's just this array of heap pool 4 extents. There's the 0404 and a bunch of data, and a 04 and a 04 and a bunch of data. And this just continues on a long, long ways. What I like to do is use the locate command to tell the browser, the dump browser, to go forward 999908, which brings us to the tail end, the bottom of the heap extent, and you scroll backwards. And then you just scroll backwards and you see what actually is in there. There might be an eye catcher immediately following the 404. Which you need to kind of focus on, or strings contained therein. Like if the bottom of slide 30 here, there is an Ebsidic string. It looks like a path name of some sort. Not sure what that's all about. But as you scroll through these extent after extent of these things, you start seeing patterns over and over again. If we go to slide 31, please. This is a Ahipu 1 in a WebSphere controller region, and they're only 8 bytes long. So altogether, with the 8-byte prefix and then the 8 bytes of data, you can see there's a very many of these fit on a screen, and there's some iReadable EBCDIC there. If we go to the next slide, please. I've gone to the tail end of it, and here we have still more strings, and it's hard to know with 8 bytes of data what they could possibly be. But what I wanted to highlight here was that this first row shows the 0001 and then a big number. That's a pointer to the next element on the free chain. And then the third line has a similar situation. And then there's a line near the bottom that has 0001 and then zeros. That's the end of the free chain. And then there's a whole bunch of storage after this address, which is all binary zeros. That's a piece of the Ahipu 1 that hasn't been used for anything yet. This is what it looks like. If we could go to the next slide, please. Okay, so I talked about looking for eye catchers and readable strings. We know how to do it in ASCII and in EBCDIC by typing in the ASCII command under IPCS or EBCDIC to switch back to EBCDIC. We talked about going to the bottom of the heap pool and working our way backwards, looking for repeated patterns. Not sure we talked about the age of the heap pool elements, but it's generally true that LE satisfies storage requests starting at low address numbers, and then as more storage is requested, the addresses tend to increase over time. Then once all of the 31-bit storage gets filled up, LE will try to start satisfying storage requests from below the line. So knowing that we start with 31-bit addresses and low 31-bit addresses, then you can surmise that a whole lot of storage is obtained during server startup, application startup, you know, getting things, all the objects fluffed up. So the first some amount of storage that's used in the 31-bit space is going to be normal. Then as storage addresses increase, you're going to typically you see the same pattern over and over again. If we're leaking, we'll see the storage that remained that was not allocated but it was not freed, they'll accumulate, they'll collect in the middle of this address, virtual storage address range. Then as you get to the end, well, you know, WebSphere, in this case, WebSphere is running, it's getting storage, it's freeing storage. For the most part, it gets what it frees. So you might see a whole host of different kinds of storage being used up, being present in the dump near the end of the 31-bit and then also in the 24-bit. But the middle address range, it's high possibility that that's all leak. If we go to the next pool, next slide, please. If you see a leak, but you don't know what the storage is, there's no eye catchers in there, the pointers that are in there don't seem to point to anything, LE gives us a few diagnostics. There's a heap check option that can give us the call stack for each storage get and free, down to about 20, if you ask for 20. A call stack of 20 deep. You can get up to 20 entries in the call stack that got a particular piece of storage. The data goes into a wrapping trace buffer. For heap pools, you format the data with this Verbex LE data HPT, heap pool trace, and you specify a heap pool that you want to produce a heap report for. And generally, you've got to do some data reduction. I have a shell script that does it. some of my colleagues have Rex execs that post-process this data, because you're looking for storage requests for cell addresses that do not have a corresponding free. That's a leak. I got storage, but I didn't free it. If we look at slide 35, go to the next slide, yeah. This is an example of the trace output produced by the HPT, the heat pool trace format or Verbex LA data. It tells you type was a get for a cell address of 51958460. It was done on TCB such and such. And it was done by module A2E under bar C time, called by GC0, called by manage alloc failure, called by so on and so on and so on, down to COM IBM EGS container BNO and it. Then there's another one, for cell address 51958408, and he's got the same stack. Now, I ran my reduction tool against this trace output and produced the next slide, please. This is a portion of my data reduction, and it shows all the gets that don't have frees. It shows their cell address and which line number this occurred or appeared in the trace that was in the previous FOIL that we looked at. And sure enough, 22995, can we go back to the previous slide? There I've highlighted that the second highlighted line, 22995, we have in our dump a piece of storage that was allocated. We don't understand what it's doing there. It was allocated by A2E under bar C time as a result of running a BNO init method in the COM IBM EGS container BNO class. Very interesting. This gets me in conversation with the developers who are responsible for this component, and we can start understanding why there's so much storage that looks like it has that call stack. If we go to slide 37 now, please. One more. If we could go to the next slide, please. So up till now, we were looking at heat pools to see what's in the storage that's quite large. But if the storage requests are bigger than 1,880 bytes in the servant or greater than 2K in the controller, they're not going to be in a heat pool. We have to know how to look in the heap extent, the allocated heap pieces that are outside of heap pools. And it's kind of the same. You don't find as many leaks outside of the heap pools. I don't. The Verbex LE data ASID X all report is still very useful because, as I showed before, it lists the first 32 bytes of every allocated piece of LE heap. So at least in EBCDIC, you can look at the EBCDIC translation on the right for eye catchers. It also shows you the address, so you can go and browse the control blocks more fully. There is a runtime option called heap check. It's the same option but with different operands that will trace each storage get and free outside of the heap pool. But this is different because it's formatted during the output of this trace is formatted during environment termination rather than postmortem in the dump. You have to just make sure you end the address space nicely so that the report gets generated. I don't use this very often. I think I might have used it once. If we go to the next slide, please. So we've kind of looked at, what we've looked at is figuring out what storage is much bigger than we would have expected. We've discussed how to know where to look in the virtual storage to see what control blocks or data areas are actually growing, depending on if it's a subpool to, if it's inside of LE heap, If it's outside of LA Heap, in other words, it's maybe perhaps subpool 249 or CSA storage, we look at how to know where those chunks of storage are and use IPCS to look at them in ASCII and EBCDIC. We've run into the problem of we run out of storage. We know how to figure out how much storage there is in a 31-bit address space for a particular system configuration. Maybe we're just using a lot of storage. Maybe the component owners that will tell us all the storage that is in use is validly in use. Why don't we have very much storage? It could be because the customer's app server is configured with a 1 gigabyte Java heap. Or it could be that, as I pointed out on one of the earlier slides, the shared memory region, it defaults to 64 megabytes, and the kernel allocates that for every, so to speak, POSIX address space. Anyway, any WebSphere address space is going to have that 64 megabytes taken away for use by shared library modules. But if there aren't any, or if it's wasting most of the space, the customer can tune that thing down and get some memory back. Or it could be the application is allocating 1 megabyte buffers and then only using 10 bytes of each one of those. It's possible there's a lot of free storage on the LE heap, but there's no storage to be given to an application, as I spoke before, because free storage is fragmented. In the end, it takes kind of a gut feel to figure out whether you've got a leak, and then I go to my developers and say, look, I think I found this leak in this module. I don't understand why these storages are not getting freed, and we go from there. This is pretty much how the approach at level 2 takes when we're shooting native storage leaks. This concludes my presentation. Slide, we can go to 39, please. This chart includes links to a number of websites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Thanks, Elijah. This concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mark, for a great presentation.
We'll take our first question from Thomas Doriano with IBM.
Hello, this is Thomas, and I want to say thank you to Mark for a good presentation. My question is pretty basic. I was wondering if there are any tech notes or any online information that would provide some of the hints and tips that you provided.
I have not considered to create one, and I haven't come across any, so I think the answer might be no.
Oh, that's fine. I was just wondering. It's very good information, and while I'm not as familiar with your product, I worked on another debug tool product. I do use IPCS, and I was familiar with your use of Verbex LE data and some format and things. LE, as you know, makes a lot of use of heaps. And in our product, we have problems with storage overlays and storage leaks and things like that. So some of it I was able to understand, but I was just wondering if maybe some of it might be available on TechNotes. The alternative is that I'll just save the presentation for us. So thank you very much for your presentation.
You're welcome.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Mark, for presenting today.
Have a good day, everyone. Bye.